All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. It's good to see you all. And this Easter Sunday, it's Resurrection Sunday, so praise the Lord for that. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. We're glad you're here, and if you're joining us online, thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you, get to know you all more. But we've got a few announcements tonight before we begin our service. Next Sunday, a week from today, is our Children's Church meeting. That's after the morning service, and that's only for those who are signed up and are teaching. So like the teachers and teens, if you're involved with that, it is just for you all next Sunday. And then if you're interested in mowing the lawn, please see Pastor Brett or Mr. Matt Kravolka there, even if you've never mowed before. They'll take anybody that's willing. And then coming up April 13th, Saturday at noon, is the luncheon for Moms of Middle. So if you're a mother of somebody who's in middle school, this is for you, and that's free. And Mrs. Victoria Dice is the speaker for that. And then the Missionaries of the Week, my family, and so, yeah. So this is a great, great week, love them. And quite a few things happening with my family there that they're just excited about. A lot of people joining the church. In the past few months, there's been a total of 16 servicemen that have joined the church, and three of which have gotten saved, and another one getting assurance of their salvation. And so there's praise there, that there's a lot of military coming to the church. They're connecting with them, getting them over to their house, and building relationships with them. And so the prayer request then is that they'll be able to continue to build these relationships with these servicemen, that more will continue to come. And then specifically praying for funds for a 15-passenger van so they can pick up these soldiers. And then also Dad is trying to get access to the three bases that are on Guam, and so there's like paperwork and things like that that they have to do for that. So that's what he told me to tell you all last night. So so if the ushers could please come forward to receive the offering this evening. And I'll mention, so next Sunday, pastor's out of town, and there's an evangelist that'll be with us, evangelist Caleb Reed. I know him personally, and he'll be preaching for us in the morning and evening service, and really looking forward to that. I vouch for him and support him completely, but you all get to meet him next week, and I trust that'll be a great time. So, Brother Tim, could you pray for the offering and my family in the service tonight?
Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that you have brought us together. We thank you for the opportunity today to celebrate your resurrection, that you are a living and alive God, and you are involved in our life on a daily basis. We thank you for the Klingemans, their ministry there in Guam, that you might open the door to each of these bases, that the ministry might go forth and they might see fruit for their labors. We ask for open hearts tonight as we listen to your word, that it might go forth and might find good ground in our hearts in which to work now. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Stop singing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue that theme this evening with hymn number 179, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Devin. I like singing about the resurrection. It's always a good, positive, powerful song, theme to sing about. Birthdays and anniversaries this last week. Birthdays and anniversaries, who are we pointing to? Captain Bly, I take you, you had a birthday.
Yes, sir.
And when was your birthday? Monday? How long have you known the Lord as your Savior?
52 years.
52 years. Amen. 76, in case we're wondering. So I don't wonder anymore. So you guys have heard this story before, but Captain Bly, I have a teenager sitting between us. Okay, he's 76. I'm 63. Do the math. That's 13 years. And the teenager says, which of you is the oldest? And I made the mistake of saying, which one do you think is the oldest? Can you guess which one he guessed? Not that I'm bitter, I just bring it up. Anyone else? Birthdays or anniversaries? Mr. Ryan, birthday? When was your birthday? March 29th. And how long have you known the Lord as your Savior? 29 years. Amen. Anybody else? Birthdays or anniversaries this last week? Let's sing happy birthday to these young folks that are here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Please stand if you're able for scripture reading for tonight. 1 Corinthians 15:51 to the end of the chapter. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May your hearts be sanctified by God's scripture. You may be seated.
We really should be standing for this one, but you can stand in your hearts and lift your voices up, okay? Rejoice, the Lord is King. Favorite hymns, And throughout Christ's life, through his birth, through his living a perfect sinless life, through dying on the cross and shedding his precious blood for our sins, what a Savior. Hallelujah. Stretch out some of the notes there. So,
when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then a new this song will sing.
His robes for mine, 29 in the white folder.
I
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated.
What cross is this that now I see, towering over time and space? Some may see a simple tree, others see a holy place. Alleluia, oh, the sacrifice.
Hallelujah, the cross. This morning in the sunrise service, we looked at Matthew 28, and we were, it says, you know, that the ladies came to the tomb, the sepulcher, and the first thing that is said to them is, go and tell the disciples that Christ is raised from the dead. Then the next, at the end of the chapter, Christ is talking to the disciples, and he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We've been working on this on Sunday nights, and just because this is Easter doesn't mean we're going to change things. So as we're thinking about this, I want to hear some testimonies about how you've had opportunity to start at least the conversation about the gospel, share the gospel. Sometimes we're sowing seed, sometimes we're watering seed. You know, God gives the increase. So, but while you're thinking about that, I'm going to ask Mr. Caleb Allen if he would please come on up here, Caleb. And Caleb was one of our interns last summer. We've been praying for him because they discovered a, you know, if you remember, they discovered a cyst on his brain and had some issues there. He's also getting married in September. Miss Lupita, stand up. If you hadn't met Miss Lupita yet, that's Miss Lupita. Tell us about what's going on. Just with you, your health, whatever else you want to tell. Just whatever's on your heart. We don't care. Just instant, in season, out of season. Go.
Amen, amen. Okay. Hey, guys. So it's great to be here again. We're in the area looking at a potential job opportunity at Good News Ministries. It is inner city ministry to the homeless. It's here in downtown Indianapolis. And a pastor I interned for in Pensacola, actually, he worked for Good News before. And so he's one of my contacts there. And I also know the youth director there. And so through talking with them, when they came down to Pensacola, we decided to apply for the assistant youth director position there. There's a few different opportunities we also have in ministry other places, but this is one of the biggest, and after talking to Pastor John and other mentors, we decided to fly up here, and they flew us up here, and we're very thankful for them and their graciousness in doing that. While we're up here, I wanted to visit you guys because you guys were a huge blessing to me this past summer. I mean, when I tell people I would go somewhere just to go to a church, I would come to Indianapolis to come here. Now, working at Good News, I don't know if I'd be able to because I would work for the youth ministry and we'd be bringing the boys to...
You might deliver them.
Yeah, we'd be bringing the boys with us to church over at Greenwood Bible Baptist. So we'd sit in church with them and enjoy the service over there with them. But it's such an awesome opportunity. A lady that actually came on the bus today, got saved this morning over there after their Easter message. And so I just praise the Lord for that. As far as me, as far as my health, everything's still unknown. They did discover a cyst in my brain. There was a point in time where, when it was at its worst, I wasn't able to sit up out of bed. I wasn't able to form words because of constant migraines, because of pressure in my head, seizures, things that were happening. I had no idea. Because of that, there's some continuing effects until today. They don't know if the cyst flared up. They don't know if it's something completely different. And so I've been going through a lot of tests, but God's been good through it all, and it's taught me to trust him. I'm a guy that I like to have my whole life planned out. I like to know. I mean, beginning April tomorrow, and we don't know where we're going after I graduate. And I like to know all that. If I had been healthy, we probably would. But God's teaching me that you can't plan your whole life out, that you have to trust him.
Yeah.
Psalm 9, verse 10, I'm trying to remember it because it is a passage that's encouraged me to trust him recently. It talks about how God's going to remember those that seek after him and those that trust in him, and God's going to remember them. So I'd encourage you guys, just thankful for you all, and let's just all trust God together. I love the community here and what I've learned about God through you guys and your influence in my life.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Caleb. Good to have you. All right, somebody been able to talk to somebody about the Lord this week, Miss Anna?
I have two, and they're going to kind of be intertwined with a small testimony.
Okay.
First, I work in it's an adult day, but it's geared towards seniors and dementia, Alzheimer's, and so it's, if you know me at all, you know that's right up my alley. The Lord just gave me the best job. And we get to freely share the gospel. We have devotions every morning, and because of the things that have happened to the people that are there in the building, I don't know if they grasp what we talk about, but I do know the joy on their faces when we talk about the Lord, and they remember going to church as a young child and remember singing, and we sing hymns. Boy, when we turn on hymns, they go crazy. They're singing. And so the other day, I pulled up a church service, and I was trying to find a specific spot because they're like, oh, you play the piano. I said, yeah, let me find it. And a hymn started, and they all started singing. I'm like, well, let's just back up. And we joined the whole church service, and I'm thankful for that. But I've been trying to more purposely interject verses about the gospel and about how salvation is only through Christ, because I don't know what their backgrounds are. I know one of them told me she's Lutheran. The others don't really tell me, you know, they can't really tell me what their background is. So I've been trying to do that. And then on Friday, I went to see one of my health professionals. And they're good, good, sweet people. But their beliefs are very skewed. They believe they're just going to be one of the number that are going to go. And I've been burdened for them since we met, but I was always afraid to say something because they're so well-versed in what they believe. And as far as having Bible conversations, we go back and forth with scripture and verses and talking about the Lord and how good he is. And so it's hard not to be offensive, to say, well, this is the right way and you're wrong, you know. So the whole time I was there, the Lord was just like kind of prodding me. And I didn't feel like it was pushing. It wasn't more of a, I don't want to. It was more like, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to interject. And so I just started interjecting verses. We were talking about the state of the country and the state of the world. And I just interjected verses like, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And she said, yeah, yeah. And so it was encouraging. So the testimony is probably for, this is terrible to say, but I'm just being honest. For one of the first times in my life, I'm doing it because not because I feel guilty. The Lord's changing my heart, and it's becoming more of a, hey, how can you get the gospel in? How can you talk to them? How can you share with them? What verse can you say? Let God do the work and just let me do the verse. So I'm excited because that's change that's a long time coming. And my motivation, instead of not being one sitting down and not sharing when you ask, is I don't want to get to heaven and Jesus say, what have you done with me? Mm-hmm. I say, well, I was nice to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what did you tell them? What did you do with my son? I want to have crowns to give him.
Amen. Amen. Who wants to go next? Oh, Miss Jeanette.
Hi. I was really, truly blessed. My husband, Robert's been talking to his sister for a while, and as I had told somebody before, and his heart was burdened for her. And the Lord was, because he was able to plant a lot of seeds, he used me to help her come to the Lord. And when we were having a conversation, the shocker, though, was that her husband, who had the heart transplant, was a Jehovah's Witness, and we didn't even know that. She opened up about it, and they were studying out of the kingdom, you know, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, which, well, anyway, I was a Jehovah's Witness, so it felt really good to be able to use verses in the Bible and show her that works will not get you to heaven.
Yeah, amen.
And so now we're going to start a Bible study, and since she doesn't have a Bible, we mailed her one, and so amen. Now we're going to be doing Bible study FaceTime, so because she's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So please pray.
Amen. For us there. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. Anybody else? Darren.
So I have two people that I'm working with currently, and they don't really realize it. So as a truck driver, we rebid every 6 months, and so I get to see a new group of guys that are close to my start time. And there's one gentleman in particular, his name is Roger. And if you pray for me, and as I talk to him, I'm just developing a friendship with him at work, and eventually we're going to start talking about spiritual things. Another one that I'm working with is... You, for those of you that know us, we just moved about a year ago to a new neighborhood. And there's a guy that came, the first guy that introduced himself to me, he came up to me on a red scooter. And I don't know his last name, but his first name is Bob. So Gail and I affectionately call him Scooter Bob. I hope you can use this in the same way that I did. But Bob... I was talking to Bob, developing a relationship with him, and I found out that his wife, Margie, has osteoporosis. She's 84 years old. She's really having a hard time now. And I used this one phrase, and I said, Bob, would it be okay with you if we prayed for your wife? And, oh, what husband wouldn't say, yes, would you please?
Yeah.
Would you please? So I'm working with Scooter Bob, you can write that down, and Roger. But then I have one more. That this was really convicting to me. So about 3 weeks ago, Gail and I went up to visit sweet little Martha Mackey. And she told us that she led someone to the Lord. Now, why is that convicting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Martha is in a nursing home, and she's 94 years old. I'm 59 years old. I have no excuse.
Yeah.
I have no excuse. So not only has she led this lady to the Lord, she also has a Bible study with her. So if that's not convicting, I don't know what else would be.
Amen. Amen. David?
So yesterday I had the opportunity to go to lunch with one of my old coworkers from Discount Tire, and one of my classmates from the college, he works at Discount Tire, and kind of last minute asked me if I had lunch plans. I was like, no, I think I'm free, and I think he set me up to witness to my old coworker. And when we went to lunch, it was in my mind, like I just felt like I had to witness to him, because I know that he's from a different church, a different denomination, things like that. And so just asked him how he's doing and then stuff like that. And this weekend coming up, it's like, what better way to talk about the gospel than through Easter? So that was really easy to get to the gospel. And we ended up talking for about an hour and a half about things that he believes that are different than what we believe. And it was like, you know, it's about like the Trinity, which is, you know, that's just hard to understand. And so a lot of difficult things that we were working through, and then about salvation and how to get saved. And I was like, there's multiple points in the conversation where I was like, Lord, please help me. Please give me wisdom. I don't know what to say here. Amen. And but I thank the Lord that he brought verses to my mind, and I took him to these passages. And we went to John 3, you know, we hit that just these past couple weeks, and he wasn't able to answer to the passage, what was there in the passage. He had to leave the passage and say other things, and he was like stumped and was able to challenge his thinking with that. And so I praise the Lord that, you know, Lord brought me there and was able to just, you know, sow the seed. And I know other guys are there that will continue witnessing to him, so I'm thankful for that opportunity.
Amen. Mr. John?
Sorry. Well, this was the same day, so.
Were you the guy?
No. No. I'm not that guy. No. So, same day, we had just finished working, we're all washing up, we're all tired, this is a coworker I've shared about before. His name is Caleb, again, and I think I mentioned before, he's a moral young man, but he doesn't know the Lord. Well, I walked over, there's this big sink that we have the soap and all that to wash our arms off when they get all dirty and stuff. I walked over there, and another guy asked him, so are you going to church for Easter tomorrow? And he said, no, I'm not. Well, I'm just kind of sitting there, kind of seeing where this conversation's going. And he said, yeah, you know, every time I go to church, they deal with controversial things. I don't like it when they deal with controversial things, such as abortion. And they're talked a little bit about that. A couple other guys started getting into, you know, debating about some things, you know, just kind of walked away from that, and he did too. We were going the same direction, and, you know, as they were getting a little loud and a little heated, he's like, oh, this is kind of one of the reasons why I don't like it. And I said, well, Caleb, you know, I understand what you mean. It's not always profitable sometimes to try and get in debates, but the most important thing to know is that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay your sin debt. Amen. So, of course, he grew quiet. You know, moment of silence for a second. Yeah, okay. You know, and then moved on.
Yeah.
So, he's the ice pick project.
Amen.
You just keep chipping.
That's
away.
Right, chipping away. So. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yep. Ms. Joyce.
This is probably going to blow your mind. But my father's been gone.
They can't hear you unless you
My
hold
father
up there.
Has been gone 5 years, and when he was still at home, the best place I called was Senior Helpers. They took care of him. They dressed him. They took him out. I mean, sat outside, talked to him. And if it wouldn't have been for them, I would have went off the deep end. They are a very good outfit, so if anybody's got someone coming up that needs the help, whether it's a senior citizen or not, give them a call, because you cannot lose by having them in your home.
Amen. Thank you. So we've been talking about trying to be a witness, and I appreciate the things that David and John were saying, especially I want to comment on. So David, you know, said, I didn't know you. Sometimes this is what we do. We back ourselves away from witnessing, because what if they ask a question that I don't know the answer to? And that, you know, so So immediately what happens is we set up a scenario where the fear of man is driving the event, right? And what does the fear of man do? It brings a snare. Hi, Miss Jan. I didn't see you come in. Good to see you. And so the fear of man brings a snare. And so here we are. We're trying to witness these people, and we've immediately thrown ourselves into a snare. So here's the thing. Let me just help you a little bit. Somebody asks a question you don't know the answer to. The reality is it's very simple. You know, I don't know the answer to it. It's called honesty, right? I don't know the answer. But if you'll give me some time, I'll find it out for you. Because what you've done now is you've been honest. You've set up, okay, I'm just going to be honest and not try to fluff my way through this conversation. But now you've already established we're going to come back and talk again, right? So you've actually extended your opportunity to visit by or to witness by doing that. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of not knowing the answer, you know. And then I love John's concept of the ice pick project, right? It's, you know, we're not, sometimes it takes time. It just does. It takes time to work on someone's heart. We talked about John chapter 3 already. David was mentioning that. And the reality is, we don't see Nicodemus make a decision at that time in John chapter 3. But we know when we get to the end of Christ's ministry, as Nicodemus is there, you know, to help, you know, take care of the body of Christ, and he's called in the scripture, if I recall right, a believer. And so, you know, at some point he makes that decision. It's not our timetable isn't what's important, right? It's not about our timetable. It's about us being faithful with the gospel. And so the reality is, you know, this is for all of us. We are all called to be witnesses. And I'm a believer that it's important to set aside times to go out and make visits. I'm not opposed to that at all. But the danger of that is, oh, it's not Thursday. I don't have to talk about Jesus. Hello? you know, the reality is this should be a daily occasion for us. It should be a way of life for us. And if just the people in this sanctuary, just this handful of people, would just begin a conversation about the gospel on a regular basis, can you imagine how different things would be? 12 people turn the world upside down. Imagine what a group this size could accomplish in the city of Indianapolis if we would just be faithful to the gospel. And so, you know, it's just crossing that bridge. All right, we're running out of time. And so our goal here tonight, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table together. And I want to, I just want to, let's pray and then we'll jump into this. Father, we ask that as we prepare our hearts and minds for partaking of your table, that you would help us to come to you with great realization of what it means and how we can celebrate this time. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is has an uncanny ability to sum things up. For instance, in the great passage on the Lord's table, you know, Paul says, I've received the Lord, that which also, you know, and he says that the Lord Jesus took bread, blessed it, and said, this is my body which is broken for you. That's all he says. This is my body which is broken for you. Is that a summation of the crucifixion of Christ? You can spend hours talking about the crucifixion. In Psalm 22, if you want to turn there real quickly, we'll get to the 1 Corinthians passage. But in Psalm 22, you know, it's a Psalm of David, a Messianic Psalm. In verse 1, there's words that you'll recognize right away. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now we're going to skip down just for the sake of time. Go down to verse 14, as we're going to get an Old Testament prophetic description of the body being broken for us, of the blood being shed for us. What's summed up in two phrases there in 1 Corinthians is, you know, it's quite the story in Matthew and Matthew 26 for sure. But verse 14 says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. and thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet, I may tell all my bones, and they look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This is a little more detail to that concept of this is my body, which is broken for you. So as we're approaching the table tonight, and we're talking about the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I want us to call to mind the image of that. It is a wonderful thing, because the reality is it is finished, right? So we're not. This is not a reliving of the crucifixion. It's a remembrance of it. But it is a remembrance of the price that was paid. That's what it is. It's a remembrance of the broken body. It's a remembrance of the shed blood. And so as we're approaching the table tonight, I want you to be careful to remember. Let's not just go through ceremony. This is not a ceremony. It's not. It's very ceremonial, and in our fundamental Baptist churches, it's one of the most ceremonial things that we do, right? I'm aware of that. But if we're not careful, it becomes just that. It's a ceremony, and we're just kind of walking through something. Why? Sometimes we don't even know. But it is this do in remembrance of me, Christ says. And it's remembrance of his broken body and of his shed blood. Walk yourselves through the crucifixion story, you know, where it starts in the garden, where he's sweating drops of blood and in agony crying out for the Father to remove this cup if it's possible. And then he's arrested, and then he's beaten, and he's stripped naked, and he is, you know, he's whipped and scourged, and he is, you know, his beard is pulled out, and his face is beaten, and he's a crown of thorns, and they hit him on the head, and they're spitting on him, and they're mocking him and ridiculing him, and they call upon him to drag his cross up the hill, and there he lays himself down on the cross to be nailed to the cross and have it, remembering all of these things. This is what we remember. It's not just the remembrance of a ceremony. It's remembering his body, which was broken, his blood, which was shed. Now, all that being said, I want to just remind us as we're entering into this, all right, the premise of the Lord's table is the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the premise. And the premise of it is its application to each individual represented at the Lord's table. The invitation is to all those who have relationship with Christ, through his broken body and his shed blood, having placed our faith in his death on the cross as the payment for our sin, we now have fellowship with him. And by that fellowship, we are invited to the table. Do you understand? It's all about that. So if you're here tonight and you say, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian, this table is not for you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. The Bible gives us strong warning about taking of this table unworthy. If our children have not yet come to that point of understanding and placing their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, this table is not for them. It's about relationship. And there's strong warning about approaching this table without being worthy. But also note that this is not the table of a church. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's Supper. And the invitation is given by him, not by Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. This table does not belong to us. There's no one in this building whose body has been broken for you. There's no one in this building whose blood was shed for you, who purchased your salvation. There's no remembrance of this room. It's of what Christ has done. But when we have that relationship, we come to the table for that sweet reminder of just what it means to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and to have relationship with him. And so that brings us then to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you'll turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read it first, and then we'll walk ourselves through the passage, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It starts in verse 23, but we'll jump down to the parts that we haven't already covered. It says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, this is important, right? So the Bible doesn't tell us how often to do this, but the Bible says when you do it, here's why. As often as you do it, you show forth the Lord's death. It's to constantly keep us in remembrance. I'm of the opinion that too often becomes ritual, and it's dangerous. Too seldom becomes forgetful, and it's dangerous. You know, and so, but as often as we do it, it's up to the church to decide. They can decide that. But as often as they do it, they do that so that we can be, again, drawn into remembrance of what it means to be forgiven, what it means to be redeemed, what it means to be purchased. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And so as often as you do this, you come to show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Then it goes on in verse 27, "For whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning." Now listen, this is not about losing your salvation. It is, though, saying that, you know, in fact, it goes on to say here, it literally can weaken our physical bodies to the extent of sickness and death. "Many are sick among you, and many sleep." That's what the Bible says. I mean, it's an important aspect of the Christian walk that we approach this table with the right mindset. That we don't just walk through this with nothing, with no thought. That it's a solemn remembrance of what it means to have relationship with the God of heaven. And so, as we're entering into this, I want you to stop and consider. It does say a couple of things that we need to point out. It says, "But let a man examine himself." Can I help you here? It's not your job to examine other people, right? I can't believe they're partaking. Not your job. It's not our job. Not your job to examine your wife or your husband. It's let a man examine himself. This is what the Bible's very clear about, right? It's about me entering into a remembrance of my experience and my relationship with the Lord through the shed blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, let a man examine himself. But it does not say, and I want you to catch this, it does not say, examine yourself and then disqualify yourself. It goes on to say, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So the purpose of the examination, the whole purpose of the examination is that we would have an opportunity to say, okay, this is something that is not right between this God of mine and myself. There's an issue. There's something that's preventing the open fellowship, the walking in the light as he is in the light and having fellowship one with another. And so 1 John's very clear. If that's the case, if we're not able to enter into the light and have fellowship with him, what do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we enter into this time of examination, it is a time for us to be honest with ourselves and with the Lord and say, this is a problem. And rather than say, I'm not going to partake, instead, having examined ourselves, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Because we're going to allow the blood of Jesus Christ afresh and anew to make us worthy by, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that we can now have that open fellowship. A couple years ago, I kind of walked through a process here, and I got so many comments that it behooves me to repeat it occasionally. So I'm going to repeat it a little bit tonight. You'll notice as we're doing the Lord's table here tonight. You'll notice some things take place. So everything that's here is to point us to remembrance. That's why it's there. It's to point us to remembrance. So there is a sheet that's placed over almost every communion service, at least in our Fundamental Baptist churches. That's what you're going to see. The men are going to come up, and there's that ceremony that's involved, and they'll take the time to fold neatly this you know, cloth that's there, and they'll set it aside. Because the cloth, if underneath the cloth is the representation of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cloth would be representation of the grave clothes, which the Bible describes, were folded and set to the side. Do you remember that? And it's all to point us to a remembrance. When it comes time to actually partake of the Lord's table, now here's the way we do this. Other churches can do this differently, and if you've missed the cue, don't panic, you know, but, you know, we'll pass out the elements. I say the elements very carefully, you know, so that you understand that, you know, when we pass it. Do you remember when, was it Mike Rowell was given, and I always say, so eat ye all of it. And I have a tendency to say fast, and he said, he began to think that I was saying, so eat the element, so drink the element. So I'm going to say, so eat. But what we do is we pass them out, and then together we would partake of the element. That's just the way we do this, all right? It's not necessarily a right or wrong in the scripture, it's just the way we do it. Something else I do, because it comes in this nice, neat little square, it is a specific kind of cracker. What is it? Unleavened, right? It's unleavened bread, because that leaven represents in the scripture sin, and so it's on purpose. It's not just a soda cracker. It's not just, you know, a piece of bread. It's unleavened bread. It's a uniqueness. But because I want to remember the broken body of Jesus Christ, this is what I do. You do what you want. That neat little square is just too neat for me, so I always snap that cracker. I want to remember that his body was broken, and I snap that cracker before I partake. That's just what I do. You don't have to. It's not biblical. It's just something I do. But there's a unique thing that happens in this. So we pass it out to you. Then the men will come up here, and they'll stand in the line, and I'll pass it out to each of them. And what happens last? The last person will take the tray, whichever the element is, whether it's the bread or the juice, and they serve me, because it's not my table. Do you understand? I mean, in the original picture, Christ is serving all of his disciples. And so we're all served, because we're all here for the same remembrance. You know, so I'm an equal participant with you, so it's not like I'm the one serving. Do you understand? There's no representation of Christ other than the remembrance of his broken body and his shed blood. And so we're all served. And just some little things that you might or might not know because you just don't notice it happening. But that's going to be the Lord's table. Let's begin. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. So let's take a moment, if we can, and let's have some silent prayer. Give us a chance to prepare our hearts for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have the men come and prepare the table, please.